Are you refreshed this morning? Some of you look a little on the weary side yet, but I think the Lord has good things for us. It was a blessing last night to be here and to share together. I was blessed with that. I trust that you were encouraged and strengthened in the inner man. I hope you had some time to go home and talk to your wife and maybe surprise her by talking. And yes, just a blessing to be together. I wanted to bless you as a congregation a couple months ago, and I don't know if, how many of you are even aware of this, that this happened, but a couple months ago, there was a package that came in the mail for my wife, and it was from Allen County Christian Fellowship. And so whoever was responsible for that package, it meant a tremendous amount to her. It was something she had wanted for a little while already. But what really was astounding is a few days later, there was another package there with something else, and just to bless her. And then a time later, why, there was another package. And I just want to bless you as a congregation. Thank you for that, for blessing my family in that way. I know they made a lot of sacrifices for Mark and I coming out here and sharing, but I just want to bless you for what you've done for us as a family. It means a lot to us, and you all mean a lot to us. And I trust we can somehow impart some encouragement and some blessing in your lives that can be a rich blessing to you all. Let's stand together, if you would, and have a word of prayer together. Lord, we come to you here today again, Lord, as our cups turned up to you and asking you again to speak to us from your word. I pray administer to the very needs of our hearts. Lord, you know the things that are lacking, the things that are missing. You know the things that we need encouragement in. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us here this morning and minister those things to us that we need from your word. Pray, Lord, that your spirit would have free course among us. And Lord, I ask you to give me clear thoughts that I can communicate in a way that's clear and could be a blessing, Lord, to the congregation here. Bless the church here. Bless each of the brothers and sisters here, each family, each child, Lord, each one that's represented here. Bless them, Lord, and may your grace and your peace rest upon us. We thank you and praise you. Thank you for salvation through Jesus, Lord. We're so grateful that you've saved us from our sins. You've called us out of darkness. We bless you for that. So, Lord, here we are, and we just commit the time into your hands as you desire to speak to us. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 31, verse 24 says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Where's your hope? There's a lot of people today that say they have hope. But where's your hope? Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Jesus used some very similar phrases numerous times. In John 16, verse 33, he said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Be of good cheer, Jesus said. He used those words different times. Be of good cheer. Very similar to that, what we have in Psalm 31, be of good courage. If you turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 31, There again, we have some verses likewise encouraging us. In Psalm 31, in verse 1 through 8, I'll just read that. Here, this was towards the end of Moses' life and so forth. Moses speaking. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may go, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Verse 6 says, Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that that doth go with thee. He shall not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go up with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. There's some powerful truths that Moses was sharing here with the people and with Joshua. Some very powerful truths. And as I think about courage, and as I think about in our day today, you know, courage for the believer in some ways is different than it is than our society about us thinks about courage. You know, this, if you talk about courage to the people around us, they may think of, you know, the police. You know, they have a lot of courage, and they do in their own way, and so forth. They might have, you know, if you think about what all they face, it takes a lot of courage on their part. We might think of a soldier going into the battlefronts and the courage that it takes to approach the adversary and knowing that you could lose your life. Or maybe the SWAT team on a crime scene and so forth. They don't know what's inside that building. They just got the report that there's a problem in that building. Someone was shot, or someone, we don't know where the guy is that did it. You know, does that take courage? Well, yes, it does, doesn't it? I won't deny that. I don't think I would be up to that, and I don't think I'd want to be there. But, so it takes courage. But that's not necessarily the kind of courage that Moses was speaking of here when he was talking about courage. Not just bravery or daring or being fearless or having nerve. The courage that God wants His children to have is rooted in a deep faith and love in Him. That's the kind of courage that Moses, I believe, was talking about when he was telling Joshua and the people to be of good courage. A courage that is rooted deep in faith and in love in God. And that gives us that inward strength to face the difficult things in life. It's not something that we just muster up in ourselves. I'd like for us to consider a few things here this morning. So we think about courage, and I need this message probably more than most of you do, so listen in while I talk to myself. But, you know, David encouraged himself in the Lord, and I think it's a good exercise for us to do that. But, yeah, we're facing some things. One of my siblings at home, and I just, yeah, we just really do need your prayers in all of that. But, you know, there's a tendency for us in difficult times to become discouraged. And that's one of the things I'd like to consider as we consider some things concerning courage. We could write up here, there's two root words that two root words. I'm sorry, that wasn't spelled right at all. There's the word discouraged, and the root word there is courage. And then on this side, I'm going to put down encouraged. So we have both have the root word as courage, but the one is discouraged and the one is encouraged. And there's some things that feed this. There's some things that feed either one or the other. And I'll just write some of these things, some of my thoughts here on the board, and you can add your own. But here's some things that feed discouragement. I'm going to abbreviate here, but negative thoughts. Like what's the use? Right? Have we ever felt that way? On the other hand, over here, the same idea, just a different perspective, looking at the very same situation. And this is the words that Moses also used, if you look there in Deuteronomy 31. God is with me. Those are very key to encouragement. Those are very key to encouragement. On one side, we could be discouraged and think, this situation is impossible. On the other hand, we could look at it and say, God is with me. Wasn't that the difference between Joshua and Caleb's report of what the land was like and the rest of the spies? On this side here, on the discouragement side, our eyes are on the circumstances. Isn't that right? That's what brings us to discouragement. Our eyes are on the circumstances. When we become encouraged, our eyes are on the Lord. Over here, when we're dwelling on past failures, it's discouraging, isn't it? Or we could come over here and be encouraged by repenting and believing the gospel. Amen? You see the difference? Over here, under discouraged, under discouraged, we're carrying the load ourselves. Over here, under encouraged, we're casting our burden on the Lord. Over here, under discouraged, this is just a little bit different. Have you ever found anything encouraging in the news? The news can be very discouraging, right? How about the good news? Isn't the Word of God encouraging? How many times have we been over here on this side and we go to the Word of God and it's encouraging? On this side, maybe we're defeated in a particular area of life, and it's discouraging to us. Over on this side, when we experience victory, it's encouraging, isn't it? And there's many more things like that. And you could make a long list of those very kind of things. Sometimes I've faced what looks like an impossible situation, and may I've lost courage. I have. I've lost courage sometimes for a few days or so, and then I begin to realize where my eyes have been. What I've been looking at and the circumstances that are before me, and I'm looking at those rather than my eyes turned to the Lord. And it just makes a world of difference, doesn't it? Where we place our eyes. In the day and age that we live in, you know, it takes a lot of courage. Many are falling prey, I believe, to discouragement. And we know and have walked with people who today have thrown Christianity away. And I would venture to say that, why is that? I would venture to say that probably majority of those kind of people have been through experiences and times where they've come to a place of discouragement. And the discouragement went so deep that they just decided, what's the use? It's not worth it. And they give up. You know, discouragement is a death trap. I just like to encourage us with that. How can I do that? Encourage us with the fact that discouragement is a death trap. And it's a death trap to us spiritually. We will lose out spiritually when we go down. When we become discouraged, we lose out. And we don't make any progress going forward. I'd like to write some more things up here. Maybe I'll put it over here. I hope you all can read these in the back here, but this was not necessarily one of my own inspirations initially, but I have chewed on this one for a long time. But my father has preached a message one time on discouragement, and he called it the D friends. So I'm going to write it up here as the D friends. Did you know that discouragement has a lot of D friends? Like this. Despair. Despondent. Distressed. Dismayed. Depressed. Dejected. Drooping. Aren't those all D friends of discouragement? I wonder how many of us have been there, a part of those things, or allowing those things in our in our lives. What good friends are these? I haven't found any good friends in those. In fact, if you're on board with those kind of friends on that ship, it's going to sink. It's going to sink your boat. It's pretty weighty. And really, if you look at that list, it really doesn't get you anywhere, does it? And it doesn't get you where you want to go. But sometimes we're there. Many parents have become discouraged when their children have grown up and have not embraced the same vision. They become discouraged with trying to give direction and guidance and so forth when it's not received. But the Bible says, be of good courage. I'd like to just look at different men this morning in the Word of God who had courage. And I think it will encourage our hearts. And I'm not saying that anyone's here that's discouraged, but I just like to have us think about these in such a way that could just minister to our hearts. Men of courage are men of faith. Men of courage are ordinary people, but they're people who believe God's, and they're submitting themselves to God's. Noah was a man like that. In Hebrews 11, verse 7, we notice that chapter as the faith chapter. But Noah here, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I just like for us to consider Noah in light of being of good courage. Here was a man that God said, I'm going to destroy what I have made. I'm going to destroy it. But I want to save you. I want to save you. I want to save your family. And I want you to build an ark to the saving of your house. I wonder today if we live in a day that would be closer, even relatively similar to what it was in the days of Noah. I think we're getting closer and closer to something like that. And yet, we still have, in our nation, we still have some godly values, we still have some things that are, you know, maybe bent toward some biblical foundation, but I think all of us recognize that that's fast dissipating. And in our nation today, it seems like, as it was in the days of Noah, when they were eating and drinking and being merry and giving in marriage, and it seemed like all the thoughts of men's hearts were evil continually. It seems like we're getting there pretty quickly as a nation. But here was Noah, and he had this family. He had these children, these three men. And here was a very, very ungodly generation. And he was trying to bring up his children to fear God. I don't know how all that went, but probably very similar to what you and I face with our families in the generation that we live in. Do you think that Noah's young people had any peer pressure? Who were their friends? What was their influence like? Did they have anyone to associate with? It would almost seem they probably didn't. They were just three men that had to... They were at home with Dad. And they were doing this project. And this project wasn't just a five-month project. This project, how long did it last? 120 years, over 100 years, they were working on this project together. Just think about it. Talk about courage in the midst of a dark setting, in the midst of darkness all around, scoffing, mocking. excuse me. Noah believed God. Genesis 6, verse 9 says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." I believe that gave him courage, didn't it? And he walked with God. Again, in Genesis 7, verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Just think about it. Noah was a tremendous example to us of the saving of his household. And he built this ark. He made special preparation for his family. He saw and believed God. He saw what God was about to do. God had told him what he was going to do. But it took a long time to get there. But Noah was faithful. He had the courage to stand up in his generation. How about us? Think about Joshua. We touched on it here just a little bit. But Joshua, a man of faith. Yet Moses and God both exhorted him to be of good courage. And Joshua and Caleb there in Numbers 13, 26, I don't think we'll turn there, but they were sent as spies into the land of Israel there, which they were about to inherit, and God had wanted to bring them into that land. And Joshua and Caleb were among those spies that were sent in. And Joshua and Caleb's report was that of, "They're bread for us. It's a good land. It's a land that God wants to give to us." And I wonder where their eyes were. Because if you look at the other 10 spies and their report was very similar to Joshua and Caleb's as far as what they were seeing. But then there was these sons of Anak, which were giants. And they just said, "We were like grasshoppers in their sights." Well, Joshua and Caleb probably saw the same men. And they said, "They're bread for us." You see the difference? The one was that of courage, encouraged. The other was that of discouragement. But it was all by what they were looking at. Joshua and Caleb, I believe, saw just like the others, but they looked to God and they said, "God is able. God is able." The others were looking at themselves. "Look at us. I mean, we're just like little grasshoppers around here compared to these big giants. We can't do this." Do you know what discouragement does? We respond to discouragement just like they did. Let's go back. Let's retrace. Let's go back to Egypt. Now, we might not say that, but in our heart, there's something that pushes us that direction when we're discouraged. We tend to spiral downhill, going back to the same slaveries that we came out of. Do you ever notice that? A drunk who finds the Lord and yet still has temptation. Do you know what he goes to when he's discouraged? Back to drinking. Those who feast on, whatever it is, whatever sin it might be that was encumbering, when you're discouraged, it's amazing how quickly you're tempted right back in those same areas. We forget the slavery. We forget the bondage. And I wonder how these children of Israel, I mean, weren't they thinking? I mean, here they were. And God had miraculously brought them out of Egypt. Weren't they thinking about the slavery and the groanings that they had back in under that slavery? Somehow we forget when we're discouraged. We look for the easier path. And we don't even think logically when we're discouraged. Verse 9 in Deuteronomy 31 says, I'm sorry, I think I have a wrong scripture there. It's actually in Numbers. I'd like to go there. In Numbers. Numbers 14. I'd just like to read that verse. In Numbers 14, verse 9, he says, in verse 8, he says, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. This was Joshua and Caleb's report. The Lord is with us. Let's not be afraid of the adversary. Let's not be afraid of the enemy. Let's not be afraid of those unknowns before us. The Lord is with us. Do we have that kind of heart? I think about the tremendous task that was laying at Joshua's feet to bring these children of Israel into the promised land. Moses was getting old, and he knew that he couldn't enter this promised land, and he was putting this responsibility on Joshua. And Joshua, he was telling Joshua, be of good courage. Be of good courage. What does it take? It takes that faith in God. God is with us. Did Joshua have any failures? I thought about that. Joshua failed to seek the Lord soon after he had come in to the land of Canaan there. Joshua, just like us, I suppose, we know we have this thing that, you know, once we've done it once, we kind of know how to do it. And Joshua, maybe, I don't know what all was going through Joshua's mind when those men came and they looked like they had come from a far journey, and their bread was moldy and their shoes were wore out, and they were lying to Joshua and saying, you know, we've come from a far country and we want to make peace with you. But here they were, the neighbors, the Gibeonites. And Joshua made a horrible mistake. He didn't seek the Lord, did he? He didn't seek the Lord, and he made this peace with them, only to find out just after that, God said, you've done the wrong thing. And you know what Joshua could have done? He could have been right here. He could have been right here. But I don't believe he was. He repented. He repented of what he had done. Yes, the consequences were there, but he repented of it. And he found encouragement in the Lord. Let's think of another example of courage, of someone who was of good courage. Joseph was a man like that. Joseph was sold as a young boy. He was sold by his brethren to some slave traders. They took him to Egypt, and he was a slave there. He was in Potiphar's house as a slave, and yet he was a very God-fearing slave in a way that Potiphar put him at the head of everything in his house. God was with him. And Joseph was there. And then we know how the story went and how that Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and so forth. And Joseph could have really went down in discouragement because he ended up in jail. He ended up in prison. And it was not because he had done something wrong, but it was being falsely accused. And he was imprisoned, but there again, God was with him. And if anyone could have felt like Joseph, well, what's the use? What's the use? I've tried to live uprightly. I've tried to live godly. I'm down here in Egypt all by myself, nobody else around that knows God. Everything's heathen around here. And he could have just said, what does it matter? What's the big deal? But he didn't. He was faithful to God. He told his brothers after the whole story commence to the place where his brothers came because of the famine and so forth. We know the story there. But at the end of all of that, when he introduced himself to his brethren again, he said, "Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Where was Joseph's eyes in the midst of his circumstances? Were they not continually upon God? King David. David as a little shepherd boy out there taking care of sheep. David was a man of courage. I think we all recognize that. He was a mighty warrior, David was. So much so that the people shouted that David had killed his 10,000s while Saul had killed his thousands. And David was that kind of man. He was a man of courage. David was the little lad that came and faced Goliath, the giant Goliath. Did you know Goliath? His heritage was Anak. They were the sons of Anak. And the same generation of Anaks that the children of Israel faced when they came into the land of Canaan. And when if you ever do a study on that, it's kind of an interesting little study to do about the sons of Anak. But David, here was Goliath, one of the sons of Anak. And here he was, and you know how that he was making these bold statements, you know, and the battle was in array, but all of the soldiers, the Israelite soldiers, fled when this big man came out there. They were afraid. But not so with David. Where did he get his courage? Where did he get his courage? Was it something he mustered up in himself? No. It wasn't. He said, "Is there not a cause?" I think it's good for us to consider that. When we're faced with situations, is there not a cause? What would God have me to do? Is there not a cause? Why are we running from the adversary? Why are we running from the enemy of our soul? Is there not a cause? Is there not something that God would have in this? And we need to stand up against the foe. David saw it as God's name is at stake. His confidence, it wasn't in himself. In fact, Saul, he wanted to, you know, put his armor on him and try to protect him and all of this. And David said, I can't take these things. I've not proved them. And he took them off. These are going to hinder me. Oh, what a blessing. What beautiful pictures, you know. What are the things that are hindering us in facing the adversary? What are the things that it seems like our society wants to put on us? We just put them off and put our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able. Is there not a cause? Young people, like David, there are giants in the lands. The sons of Anak have not all died yet. There are giants that you face, young people, and us as well. There are giants like peer pressure. Did you know that peer pressure is a giant? Do you know there's a lot of people have fallen to the giant peer pressure? Whether it's inside these walls, or whether it's the neighbors, the friends, outside these walls. You know there's... In our day, there's a generation. I want to bless you young people who are sold out to Jesus Christ. And you don't mind being scoffed at. You don't mind being laughed at. You don't mind when others come along and say, "Why do you wear that rag on your head?" You know. You're willing to take up the cross of being different. To be like Jesus. To be like Christ. That's what I want to lift up. But there's a giant of peer pressure that pushes us around and pushes us toward things that we know won't come out right. This thing of what will they think is a pretty big thing, a pretty big giant. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? There's the giant of wrong music in our day and age. Music is a very strong pull on young people. I think that's a very strong pull. And so quickly we can get wrapped up in wrong music. And there's a giant of wrong music in our lives that we have a hard time shaking. Is there not a cause? Where's our courage? Be courageous in this generation. There's things like entertainments. There's so many things to entertain us these days. There's so many things to entertain us. But these are giants. And I believe these are giants that are facing God's people. And I think that some of us are running. We're running away from these giants. We're falling to them. We're falling prey to them. We're not willing to stand up against them. And right alongside that comes the videos and the whole gaming and all of these things. These are giants. Is there not a cause? The worldly fashions that press in on us, the technology and its subtleties, those influences, is there not a cause? Does God have direction for us? And are we willing to stand up against the giant like King David did? And we put our eye on Jesus Christ and we say, is there not a cause? You know, David was a man that he did face a lot of discouragement. Just read Psalms and look at those phrases. Phrases like, in my distress. Phrases like, out of the depth have I cried unto thee. He faced a lot of discouragement. Hear my cry, O God. Young people, all of us, those are good cries. While you may be feeling discouraged, when David was crying out like that, he was turning his eye from his circumstance to the right place. A place where he could again find courage. Saul hunted him like an animal. One of those times while David was at Ziklag with his men and his family and everything, they were over in Ziklag. We know the story maybe a bit there. I'll read some of it to you. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 1 to 4, it says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south. And Ziklag, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire." How about it? How would you like to come back to your home place, and everything's just burned? All your possessions are gone. And you know the enemy did it. And they took your wife, they took your children, they took all those things, your belongings, and they're gone. That's where David was. They had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Do you think David was discouraged? I believe he was. I believe he was very discouraged. He wept until he had no more power to weep. Verse 6 says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." But it says this, "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." How did he do that? How did David encourage himself in the Lord his God? I don't know. We don't have that record of how he did that. But I know how I've had to encourage myself in the Lord. Going to His Word. Opening His Word. Allowing God to speak through that. Sometimes the Lord's encouraged my heart when I opened my mouth and I began to sing. There is something about singing that does encourage the heart. And refreshes the soul. And our heart reaches out to the Lord when we're singing from the bottom of our hearts. I think it's a good exercise to exercise ourselves in encouragement in these things. Daniel was another example. Daniel prayed in spite of the decree that King Darius had made. Darius, there again, Daniel was one of those young captives that was taken captive to Babylon. And, you know, it was a very sobering, very discouraging situation. In fact, the Bible talks about that they required of us a song. It talks about sitting down by the willow tree and singing us a song. Do you remember that? And they said, well, how can we sing a song unto God in a strange land? You know, look what you've done to us. And sometimes we feel like the circumstances of life have overpowered us and overtaken us. And we wonder, where is God in all of this? But Daniel was one who kept praying. He kept praying to God. And that created some enemies for him. And they made these other men here, they were jealous of Daniel and his position, and they wanted his position. And so they came to Darius, and they told Darius that, hey, for 30 days, why don't you make a decree that nobody can pray to any other god but you? Oh, wow. You know the selfishness within us. Why Darius didn't see through that, I don't know. But he didn't see through that. It was probably his own self that was there in front of him in that. But you know, that didn't detour Daniel from praying, did it? Did it, children? Did Daniel continue to pray? Do you know what the consequences of it was? If you prayed to any other god but to the Darius, do you know what the consequences was? Children, do you know? What were the consequences going to be if Daniel prayed to his gods? He was going to become lion's food, right? He was going to be fed to the lions, thrown in the lion's den. But you know, that didn't change Daniel. He was still looking to God. He knew that's where his courage lie, to look to God. And he had his faith and his trust in God, and God honored that. God honored his faithfulness. And he didn't become lion's food after all, because God shut the lion's mouth. I don't know how that was. Maybe the lion could open his lips, but he couldn't get his teeth apart. I'm not sure. But God had shut the lion's mouth. Maybe they roared. I don't know. They could probably roar with their mouth closed, but they were hungry. They would have wanted to eat him, but they couldn't. That was God's, because Daniel prayed. There was three Hebrew children that we could talk about who had the courage. When King Nebuchadnezzar had set up this great big image that was around 90 feet tall, and he had gathered all the officers and all the high up people together, and he said, you know, when this music plays, we want to bow down and worship this great golden image that is set up. And there was three men that were there that feared gods, and they had the courage. While everybody else was bowing down, they had the courage to stand straight and tall. I think sometimes we do ourselves a disfavor. We sometimes think, or I've thought of this, you know, well, you know, they could have spared themselves a lot. If they'd have just said, well, you know, everybody else is doing it, we'll just kind of do it like this, but we're going to be praying to God. We're not going to pray to that image. We're going to pray to God. But no, they weren't willing to compromise. They were willing to stand up and be of good courage. No matter what, even if we're going to die in the fire, we're still not going to bow. Nebuchadnezzar would have given them a second chance, but they said, we don't need a second chance. We're not going to bow to your image. There is one true God. I don't know what all they said to the king, but we know what happened, right? The king was very angry. heated the furnace 7 times hotter, threw these men in, had these men thrown in, and those men that even threw them in were slain. But God was with them in the fire. They threw 3 men in, but there was 4 in there. The king saw it. God is with me. Amen. Think about it. What are the things that we face? Can we face it with courage? God's people can face anything if our eye is on Him. If our eye is on Him, we can face anything. How do I know that? I think about the early Anabaptists back in the 1500s. I could have story after story after story coming from the martyr's mirror that would tell you of the courage that those men had, to the point where I sit back and I say, where am I in all of that? I mean, they had courage. They had families just like you and I have, but they were taken to prison for their faith. And there they suffered hunger. They suffered colds. They were chained. Some of them, the rats were eating at them through the night. It was awful. The torture and the turmoil that happened to them, only to be beheaded in the end. And then the next one came. And they were burned alive at the stake. What courage. Where am I? I think sometimes the things that I've faced are just pretty small. And then I still become discouraged. And my courage fails. God wants to encourage us. God wants to use the small things to prepare us for the bigger things. You know what the recipe is for courage? To anything that we face? It's in the book here. It's in the book here. This, the recipe book. Courage. We can find courage in the book, the Bible. It's not how much faith I can muster up or something, but it's just simply believing what God has said. That's one of the things. And then casting ourselves upon Him. And that brings us courage. Psalm 55 verse 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What beautiful words. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. You know, I don't know. We're all facing different things, isn't that right? I mean, I'm facing things. You're facing things. We could probably just go down the row here, and each person would have something that they're faced with, something that tends to be a discouragement to them, for whatever reason it is. Cast thy burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. Psalm 108 verse 13 says, through God we shall do valiantly, for He it is that shall tread down our enemies. For He it is that shall tread down our enemies. What affects our courage? I think it's different for all of us. But what affects our courage is where our eyes are. Where our eyes are. Where we're looking. We have courage when the grace of God is upon our lives. We have courage when we know that God is with us. We have courage when we read and believe God's word. We have courage. We have courage when we pray and we cast our cares on the Lord. We have courage when our eyes are turned unto the Master. We have courage. I'd just like to finish up with this. Courage, brother. Do not stumble. Though thy path be dark as night, there's a star to guide the humble. Trust in God and do the right. Though the road be rough and dreary, and its end far out of sight, foot it bravely, strong or weary. Trust in God and do the right. Oh, may God help us to have courage, not to fall into the death trap of discouragement. And if you're there, don't stay there. I think all of us have faced it. But let's not stay there. Let's rise again. And it's such a blessing we have people around us, surrounding us, that can encourage us. How many times has it been? Maybe on a Wednesday evening, and you've come, you're tired, you're wore out, and you're just a bit discouraged. Things just were not going very good. But you come together, you pray together, or you have a Bible study together, whatever you do on a Wednesday evening, and somehow at the end of that, your heart is again encouraged. What a treasure we have, brothers and sisters, that we can come together in this way. There's many people out in the world today who are all alone with their troubles. But we're never alone, brothers and sisters. If we're locked up in a cell and God is with us, we have what it takes right there. God bless each of you. Be encouraged. Be of good courage. And I speak to myself. Lord bless you.